I've made a few different versions of the opening script for this episode, depending on when I was able to finish it and put it up online. I'm going to give you all the versions anyway, because we're all about exclusive behind-the-scenes content here on Return to the Ball Pit. Version 1. If you're hearing this, that means that I managed to put this episode together in less than 5 days, which would not quite be a personal record for me, but it's cutting it close. My penchant for procrastination simply knows no bounds. Perhaps you're listening to this on your flight, and/or car ride, and/or TTC adventure to DashCon 2. Maybe it's your post-con wind-down podcast of choice. Maybe it's the year 3000 and you're reminiscing about a simpler time before we all lived underwater. Regardless, welcome! I'm coming to you June 30th, 2025, where the last episode's wrap has already become outdated. Pride celebrations in Toronto have just wrapped up and the confetti still lingers on the street outside my office, and people are beginning to arrive in Toronto in preparation for the convention of the century, DashCon 2. Version 2. And if you're hearing this, that means that we're doing a little bit of time traveling. We have the knowledge. We have seen how it all transpired, or at least those of us who attended in cyberspace and/or meatspace. With the blessing of hindsight, we shall giggle with glee hearing the untainted record of those without that essential knowledge. How did they think it was all gonna go? Were they right? Did anybody actually piss in the ball pit this time? Who won the duel? We know these things now, but our beloved guests live in blissful ignorance. Thus is the joy of the recorded word. Version 3. And if you're hearing this one, that means Fall Out Boy was added to the schedule. You're seeing Fall Out Boy on a concert. Everyone is having a great time. Fall Out Boy seem a little excited. We have a surprise for you guys, Partrick says. All of a sudden, PATD come out and start singing This Is Gospel. When Brennan gets to the chorus, someone else starts singing. When I was a young boy, my father took me into the city to see a marching band. Lights flash everywhere, and you see FOB singing This Is Gospel along with PATD while MCR is singing Black Parade. Everyone in the crowd is going wild and crying. Then if things couldn't get any better, Dan and Phil walk onto stage and kiss holding the gay flag. You're shuttled back to YYZ via the Down with Cis bus, as was predicted in the ancient scrolls. No matter when this does come out, I've got a pretty star-studded episode for you this month. You've all been very patient, and I thank you. The universe saw me enjoying the privileges of living in Toronto and decided to nerf me by breaking my AC during a heat wave and then breaking my dishwasher. But they cannot stop me from editing this podcast in my lovely air-conditioned office while listening to Northern Lion and Jarma Streams in the background. They also cannot stop me from giving you all the very first Muppet Joker voice reveal and Tia Strangeon's personal poutine recommendation. Take my hand. We're going to listen to some interviews.
Back when I was a wee middle schooler, I would only consume Tumblr through, like, hence the screenshots. That was all I had access to. But the blog started just because I wanted to be a new guy. I'm trying to come up with a cooler, more like, yeah, I had this passion project idea that they planned out years in advance, but I just thought it'd be fun. What if the Muppet was a Joker? That's it.
A lot of people don't know this, like, extra tidbit of lore on why I'm going to DashCon 2. I've been commissioned to kill the Muppet Joker, like, Caesar style. I don't think I will, but I might.
Commissioned by who?
My coven leader, V, put out this post about, you know, I guess psychically raising her psychic dagger and stabbing him psychically, and I was like, okay, sure, girl, whatever you say. You know, she's my coven leader. I gotta do what she says.
Last summer, I was at a party in one of the, like, 5 times a year I leave my house. And at this party, I overheard the word DashCon. So, like the Tumblr user that I am, I immediately zeroed in on that conversation because I was like, hold on, I know who these people who are talking are. These are my friends. So when they reached out and asked if I would be the accessibility coordinator, that was actually really cool.
I was pretty surprised when they asked, just because I wasn't expecting it from DashCon. I was honored, obviously, but I'm presenting the panel Cancer, Transness, Neurodivergence, and You, which is a panel exploring sort of the special considerations that trans and neurodivergent patients have when faced with cancer or, like, when going to an oncology appointment.
Like, a year and a half ago, I made a PowerPoint about, like, how dateable each doctor is. Then DashCon 2 was announced. I was like, what if I reworked this thing into, like, a trial of their war crimes?
You put up your stream and said, hey, I'm making a tier list of the doctor's crimes. Everybody look at my tier list. And I think that's where, like, the idea began to blossom itself.
Wow. What are the events of my life that has led me to this moment? I ask myself this often.
So I've been on YouTube for 8 years. I've been on Tumblr far longer than that. I am maybe the internet's most well-known Tumblrina. My audience is all, like, weird nerds, and I love that. I would not change that. So.
There's just some hors d'oeuvres for you. Tastes of what is to come in this episode. I've been sitting on hours of audio that's just been begging to be tucked into my beautifully color-coded and overly complicated Pro Tools session file. But where to start? How about with a triple threat? Voice actor, animator, vampire? The name Bloody Hearts is probably somewhat familiar to you at this point. I mentioned it in the first episode when it evolved from DashCon on the Lawn, and it's also mentioned in last episode's schedule wrap. It's being screened at 5:30 in Multipurpose Room 2C, and is a very enjoyable watch for fans of campy, homemade early Flash-style animation. And though I've been told it's not strictly autobiographical, it is made by a self-proclaimed vampire.
Hi, my name is Ash. I'm the animator for Bloody Hearts. I usually say lead animator, but no one else is animating, it's just me. And I am a panelist at DashCon 2. I grew up kind of sheltered, and so I didn't really get to have a phone or, like, internet. Like, I wasn't allowed to play Minecraft or anything like that.
That's wild.
And so, basically, the only social media I ever had when I was a kid was, like, YouTube. Stuff from the Warrior Cats fandom was, like, my entire childhood. And that was just kind of, like, people drawing and editing it to music and putting it out there, and it was getting, like, thousands and millions of views. And I was like, this is great! I love this! And when Grant and I came up with the idea for Bloody Hearts, I was like, I want to make independent animation and post it on YouTube. I've seen so many people compare Bloody Hearts to Nian Neko Sugar Girls. I will honestly say, Nian Neko Sugar Girls, it forced me to realize, like, dude, just make art and put it out there. Like, it doesn't matter if it looks good to you or not. It doesn't even matter if it looks good at all. If you can make something that tells a story and has a heart to it and people like it, just do it. So in the DashCon Tour Bust server, I was like, oh, you know, I'm going because I animate for this series and we promote our stuff on Tumblr. And I think it would be funny to go to DashCon and just kind of be like, ha, I do this. But it turns out that a lot of people in the server were like, you should just play this at DashCon 2. Like, find a screen or a projector or something and just kind of, like, make it happen. The spirit of the original DashCon, I feel like that was what it was just people who were really enthusiastic about a creative project just coming together and, like, making stuff happen. And I was like, that's perfect, I want to do that. And I turned it into this whole thing. I have this whole blog for it. It was called DashCon on the Lawn, and it was my original pop-up event that I was going to try to do with, like, zero prior experience. And I sent an email to the DashCon 2 queries, like, email. And I was like, I'm already attending the con. Here's what I plan on doing. Are you okay with that? Like, am I going to be in the way? And Simone emailed me back, and she was so nice, so kind. She was so happy about it, too. She was like, I love this, and I love your enthusiasm. We're going to put you on the panel waiting list. Like, a few weeks after that, I got a Discord notification from the DashCon 2, like, group Discord account, the clown car, and they were like, hey girl, guess what, you get to be a panelist. And I was like, oh my god. Like, I literally freaked out. I went around telling everybody I knew that, like, I was gonna be a panelist at this convention in another country.
How far are you coming from?
I'm coming from bumfuck Utah.
The not being able to play Minecraft thing makes a little bit more sense now.
yes it does. I'm very comfortable in saying that I was raised Mormon. And, like, even with all the restrictions that the LDS Church has, it's like, we all have the freedom of choice. God gave us that freedom of choice. You can choose whatever you want. Just make sure you choose the right things. And so it's like with being a vampire, like, with having the choice of, you know, becoming a vampire taken from me. Like, of course, V didn't ask before she kidnapped me in the street. I did feel that shame where it was like, I don't know if drinking blood and not going out in the sun is against the Ten Commandments. Like, it does really kind of fuck with your worldview, I think. When I was 18, I moved out of the house to follow my partner who was going to college. It was a pretty far move, and I was really stressed about it. I was super depressed. I quit my job once I was there, and I would just kind of wander at night. And I got bit by a vampire while I was out there. So don't walk around at night alone in dark alleyways, or a vampire lady might snatch you and turn you into a spawn. My transformation is taking place still. V says that I'm taking a super long time to actually transform, but hopefully by the end of this year, I will be a full mature vampire. I'll have my fangs, I'll have my hair, I'll have everything. It'll be great. The only vampires that I've ever spoken to are my coven. So it's just V and it's just Grant and it's just the people who work on Bloody Hearts with me. And so I am really excited to get out into Toronto, into a big city, and hopefully meet not only other vampires, but also, like, I guess just other people. When my transformation is complete, I'm going to get like an element. V is a psychic vampire. Grant is an earth vampire. Being a mature vampire comes with extremely bright colored hair. You can't cut it or like get rid of it. Like, it's always going to be that color. And so that's very stressful for me to think about, like, oh, you know, people aren't going to like me because of my appearance. Nobody's going to want to hire me because of the way I look or the way I act or my restrictions or things that I have to deal with being who I am. Please let me work only at nighttime. Please don't make me go out in the sun or, I don't know, talk to people who have garlic breath. Bloody Hearts is supposed to be a coming of age story. All the characters, they have like this ambiguous age because we want it to feel like this can happen to you at any stage of your life. You can come into this new world and be like, holy shit, what does this mean? And so back when I was first coming to terms with being a spawn and understanding that one day I'm going to be a vampire and figuring out what kind of toll that was going to take on me, I was like, how do I like share this world with other people? The original spirit of Bloody Hearts is to be like, this is what it's like to be different and to figure out where you fit in the world and in society. And I wanted to tell like this coming of age, like Romeo and Juliet style story where there's forbidden love and tough societal expectations and figuring out what you're supposed to be, like, while mixing in stuff about our specific, you know, world and realm of vampires. I think any art form is just a way for someone to reach out, grab someone by the neck, and be like, this is what it's like to stand in my shoes. That's what I want Bloody Hearts to be like, is to grab your attention and to make you understand.
As of June 29th, 6 episodes of Bloody Hearts have been posted to YouTube, so you can watch them right now if you are ticketless. Ash has also been posting some vlogs in preparation for DashCon and their own training montage for Battle Against the Croaker. I have advised Ash that con staff will not let them bring an actual knife into the venue, and they seemed a little bit relieved to hear that. They also posted a transformation update on their blog on June 30th, a zoomed-in image of some blue hair, which according to Grant means that they will be a water vampire. My congratulations to Ash. I hope that they enjoy being near a non-salty lake while they're here. Let's hear from another set of panelists who are combining the tried-and-true Tumblr pastimes of Doctor Who posting and Phoenix Wright-style courtroom arguments.
Hello, my name is Mateo. I go by they, he pronouns, and I am going to be hosting the Trial of a Time Lord panel at DashCon 2.
My name is Mimic Wormax. I use he, they pronouns. I will be the Time Lord on trial.
There's obviously like a whole kind of like PowerPoint where Amari like list the crimes and stuff is going to be the judge.
Plan is to do a little bit of pulling from the audience. Mm-hmm. I would personally like to have like, this person's the prosecutor, this person's the defendant. Their job is to yell at me. My job is to be funny. That's what I'm scared about.
Like a little play.
It would take like 8 years to do every single doctor's crime. So we're kind of staggering it between the worst ones of the lot.
All the modern ones, because people, I'm assuming, want to see those. And for the ones that we glaze over, we're still going to mention them briefly. They're just not going to come up on stage.
It'll be like filler while I'm doing costume change.
Still want you to shave off your eyebrows for the 11th Doctor. That could be funny.
That'd be great.
We met at work, yeah.
Yeah.
We both worked at the Strong Museum of Play. I keep gently encouraging Mateo to steal the giant Mr. Potato Head, but
I do want it in my bedroom. I want him to say sweet nothings to me as I go to bed.
Yeah, so we just became like work besties. We play video games together.
I pass out every single time on call.
It's true.
Aww. Without
Mateo
fail.
Becomes the sleepiest little kitten at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I wonder why I get a little bit sleepy at 2:30 in the morning.
I wonder why. I'm nocturnal. I've been on Tumblr for an embarrassing amount of time. I got an email address at the ripe age of 12. And what I did with that was make several social media accounts that would proceed to do nothing horrible to me, and everything was normal and I'm fine. But it was primarily Doctor Who that got me into it. I was also into Sherlock. And I was waving at my cousins in the Supernatural fandom, and I have never watched Supernatural in my entire life, and I plan on keeping it that way.
Let me tell you about my Tumblr journey. It's Please. Embarrassing. I was mostly in Yogscast fandom, which then I branched out into Doctor Who. I hit many a post limit back in the day.
It's like talking about the Prohibition.
I would stay up until like 2 a.m., like little 12, 13-year-old me, scrolling on Tumblr, seeing things I shouldn't have been seeing.
Hashtag night blogging.
Yeah. I had a nightmare last night that Max just went missing, like half an hour before the panel. And I was like running around Toronto, and my brother was there for some reason, and we were looking for Max. And then...
What if they turn me into Boutine?
Oh, no. Make sure you have your phones ready to vote. Very important. Maybe if you haven't seen Doctor Who in a while, maybe go on TARDIS Wiki, read some stuff.
Come with your own records of the Doctor's war crimes.
Yeah. If you're like a big fan of the Fraction Paradox books, I haven't read those. I don't know what happens in that. You know that like the Eighth Doctor, like, I don't know, punched a baby in the face in one of those, and you know that?
They have to be truthful. This will be a court of law, and as such, if you lie under oath, you will explode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be truthful, and also, if possible, funny. I almost added an untruthful fact. Somebody was like, oh, the Eighth Doctor ate a rat in this audio drama. I was like, oh, I haven't listened to that audio drama in 2 years. I'll listen to it tomorrow. I listened to it. The twist at the end was it wasn't the Eighth Doctor. It was an alien guy that thought he was the Eighth Doctor. Really good twist, really good story. But I'm really sad about not being able to add him eating the rat. It was like a live rat. The sound, squeak, squeak, squeak. Make sure to subscribe to the Return to the Ball Pit, a DashCon 2 podcast. Subscribe to them on all audio platforms and rate them 5 stars.
Aw, jeez.
Like, subscribe. Hit that bell.
Hit that bell, fam.
If you get accused of eating a live rat with audio evidence, you're going to want a good lawyer. But if you want a great lawyer, my law firm, the Hell of a Bird Team, can help. If you've gotten in a spaceship crash, suffered a neophyte circuit breach, or are dealing with a workers' comp or social security issue, we can help represent you or find you the right attorney. Because you don't just need a legal team, you need the Hell of a Bird Team. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of Legal Eagle to keep tabs on the fall of American democracy. Did you know? July is Disability Pride Month, not Gay Wrath Month. Although, there's plenty of overlap there. Here are two people who are working to help support DashCon goers with disabilities. Ruby, the accessibility coordinator, and Scarlett, host of the Cancer, Transness, Neurodivergence, and You panel, happening at 4:30 in room 2D. Also, this was totally unintentional, but both of their names are red.
I came along when we were still in talks with the original venue that we intended to go with. And as far as my role, it was basically just to oversee the accessibility stuff. What would be required, what needs to be set up, making sure that the venue is accessible, that sort of thing. I have experience attending conventions with a disability. I have never been on the organizational side before. There's just a lot of stuff that falls under this purview that you wouldn't really think about. I'm continuously thinking of things that I didn't initially consider. Like, because of how we're handling food, I want to make sure that common allergies are accommodated and compensated for. When we did the venue tour, I tagged along and we measured the doors and stuff to make sure that wheelchairs could potentially fit through the rooms we're actually using. Arranging panel seating and taking into account that you don't want to have people who are using mobility aids shoved off to the side or stuck in the back, so leaving space for them with a decent view. Making sure there's places to rest, making sure there's access to food and water, that sort of thing. Just little stuff that adds up. I attend Anime North every year. There's never enough places to sit. They do have, like, specialized seating, but there's not enough of it to go around. This is a much smaller convention, and I'm hopeful that it will be less of a problem, especially with panels and other events running all day. But I'm just kind of taking into account the fact that I used to be able to sit on the floor and stand up. I can't do that anymore. I need to have someone with me to pull me off the ground or I will be stuck. When I'm not doing, like, convention stuff, I am an enthusiast of internet history. I like watching video essays or listening to them while I do a bunch of stuff. I really like crafting. I spend a lot of time in fandom in general. I write fan fiction. I run my silly little media analysis anime blog. I'm out here watching every season of Miraculous Ladybug completely out of order. Have you ever tried to explain to your parents' friends that you are working on DashCon 2? Because I am cringe and free, but even I can't handle that one without taking a moment to breathe. Literally last week, my mom called me like, hey, what's that convention you're working on? And I had to be like, DashCon 2. We did actually debate for a while whether we should call it DashCon 2 or not, because it was just such a complete disaster in that it was planned to be so much bigger than it was. Practically, it was a pretty average fan convention with a lot of financial problems. And what it ended up being was a cautionary tale for the rest of us, I suppose. We are a small convention run by a small team. This is not going to be, like, fan expo levels. And thank God for that, quite frankly. Just keep your expectations realistic. And I'm not saying that because I think this is going to be disappointing. I'm saying that because I know that a lot of people have been hyping this up for a very long time. And just remembering that everybody is just a person, I think, is really important. You should treat them respectfully, but you shouldn't treat them like they're some kind of deity. The number one thing that we keep thinking about DashCon is that we want to go to our own convention so bad. Like, we are just Tumblr users. We're out here.
What got me into this in the first place? I don't have cancer, but I have a genetic cancer disorder called Lynch syndrome. And Lynch syndrome is closely associated with colon and endometrial cancer. So one of the things that I need is yearly colonoscopies, which is extremely cool and exciting. And as a neurodivergent person, being made to drink or eat something that I don't like or having my diet restricted, it was such a stressful prospect to me. And there were really no, like, resources I could turn to. Like, everyone I went to was like, oh yeah, the procedure is fine, but the prep is horrible and it's going to be awful and you'll hate it. And it's like, that this does not reassure me. And there are a lot of GYN screenings that I have to get. I'm also at moderate risk for breast cancer, so I also have to think about that. And I just realized, like, wow, the system is really not prepared to handle people who have specific needs or have gender dysphoria. And if we want to improve health outcomes for autistic people and trans people, like, access to HRT and gender-affirming care is extremely important and probably the most important part. But having access to, like, affirming screenings and accessible screenings is so important. I'm doing a master's in public health right now. One of the things I'm focused on is, like, how can we make healthcare better and more accessible for trans and neurodiverse people? I did a lot of research about statistics in specifically Canada and Toronto, and I'm going to talk about some of the anti-trans efforts that have been going on in Canada. I made this references page that ended up being 10 pages long. It was a lot of work, but it was really rewarding. I feel like I learned a lot, and it's hard to make this kind of topic funny, but I kind of wanted to cater it to the general crowd of DashCon. I have this section near the end, hopefully I have time for it, where I'll talk about how to debunk, like, phony cancer research, because there's a lot of it online. There's a lot of, like, oh, kale cures cancer, etc. And to start off that section, I included some of Tumblr's famous research, including Alexandria's Genesis. I included the moon melon. Sure, I also have a gif of the infinite chocolate. One of the reasons I included it is because it's hard for a lot of autistic people, myself included, to know whether a scary headline is real or fake. And I feel like there's going to be a large audience of neurodivergent people. I'm neurodiverse, and I just feel like being able to, like, look out for it and, like, catch statistics that may be, like, misinformed, I feel like it's really important skill. I'm glad it's in a small center. What I kind of envision is just walking in and seeing a bunch of cosplayers, seeing people, like, making friends, just, like, meeting someone in the same fandom or seeing a really cool cosplay. I'm bringing my brother with me because I was like, I live in Massachusetts in the U.S., so it's about a two-hour flight. Which of my cishet white friends can I bring? My brother. My brother is the least online person ever. I showed him the Strange Eons documentary so he could be like up to date on history. I don't think he fully wrapped his head around the Muppet Joker. Like, how do you even explain the Muppet Joker to someone who doesn't use any social media?
How do you describe the Muppet Joker to someone who isn't on any social media? A madman? An innovative designer of ARG narrative? A repressed basket case? Just a guy who really likes the Muppets? Listeners, if you don't want to spoil the magic for yourself, I suggest skipping this section, because we're about to meet the man, or Muppet, behind the fuzzy green felt curtain. He's actually pretty great for conversation, and I also feel it's important to mention that he showed up to the virtual interview in a full goth makeup look.
You ever get like a hate comment and then you go to their blog and you're like, oh, they're really like this all the time. So they're just terrible.
I love doing
that. Yes, I love doing that too. I love being a hater and I love winning arguments in my mind and being like, oh, so they're just stupid. I wanted to create that experience for other people. So I started getting hate comments. It's what I wanted. It wasn't really hateful. I wanted to make sure not to actually be hurtful or hateful with anything that I was saying. And I kind of found the right line for that as I went. But I'd be straw man from their arguments. I'd be like, you're terrible, and I'm the Joker, and I'm going to get you. And they'd be like, get a load of this guy, am I right? And then all their followers would be like, yeah, get a load of that guy. He's stupid. And I'd be like, yeah, I am. Get me. So I don't know if that counts as when I made it big, but that's when I made it big in my heart. People believed me right away. They fell for it. You can't do a character for a certain amount of time without that character becoming a good chunk of you, unfortunately. So there's a percentage of Muppet Joker that's me, but like to the left. For example, I hate to say it, I do not have a Muppets kink. I'm a fake, I'm a fraud, but I love the Muppets. I have Muppet gender envy. I want to transition to a Muppet one day. It'll happen. You know, my love for the Muppets is the same, but a little different. I really love the DC universe, DC comics. I love Batman. I love the Joker. I love all that. Joker is not my favorite character. My favorite character is actually a vigilante called the Red Hood. So, you know, kind of the truth, but to the left. I do love the Joker, though. I think he rocks. I have a very complicated relationship with religion. That one's just copy-pasted. I put a lot of my, like, middle school religious angst in there where I'm like, does God even love me? You know, what is God? You know, whatever. That kind of stuff. I do have a complicated relationship with horses. That one's really real and really deep. I was bitten by two horses as a kid, and now I'm kind of scared of them. And that's the inspiration for every horse thing I put in there. I love Homestuck. Unfortunately, that's my cardinal sin. And then another thing that is kind of a huge basis of the character for me personally is I'm a neurodivergent person. I kind of struggle with emotional dysregulation or whatever. I like to make this character that like way overreacts to everything and like has comical levels of like anger and angst and whatever, like everything that he does is at 100. And you know, I think it's fun to kind of express that in just like a funny, silly way. I didn't even mean to like make a trans character at first. Honestly, I kind of just wanted to post in an online space where people assumed I was a guy and referred to me as he, him pronouns. And that wasn't my conscious reason at first, but a lot of it was like, everybody in these Tumblr comments is referring to me as a man. I have fooled them. I got him. Why does this make me sad? You know, I started accidentally sort of posting a lot of gender dysphoria content. And then everyone was like, Muppet Joker, I think you might be transgender. And I was like, I kind of do want to talk about being like trans and bigender and genderqueer and all that. But unfortunately, my starting point here is as a cis man. So I kind of painted myself into a corner where I had to be trans, but in the other direction. I had some people in my comments be like, hey, you're trans femme queen. And I'm like, opposite. But that's out of character. The whole experience, I've discovered I really do like it when people perceive me as a guy, and it made me had to look at it head on and maybe thinking into taking the jump and going on testosterone maybe one day in the future. I had to do research. I want to know what's up. So I got into the fiction kin communities and the other kin communities and the Discord servers. And I do think that I like what they have to offer and they rock. These guys, they got a little silly thing I can put on my character. And I was like, actually, they're really cool. And it was kind of the same with the Muppet King community. I'm so sorry for dragging their name through the mud with my blog. And I don't want it to make it seem like I'm making fun of them. Because you know what? I actually do love the Muppet Fuckers. They're really cool. I got added to a Discord server of the Muppet Fuckers. Real genuine guys. And they were like, hey, we love your blog. Thanks for representing, guys. You make us feel better about being ourselves. Thank you for being a genuine Muppet Fucker. And I was like, I'm a fraud. I'm a fraud. I had to come out to them. I was like, I don't really fuck with this. I'm so sorry. Like, anybody could be doing a bit. We all
have
to be doing a bit.
Dream guest on my podcast, fucking the Cybersmith and P-Jack. Like,
oh my God. I'm pretty sure, I think Cybersmith might be for real. I don't know.
I feel
I'm going to find him in the meat space and we'll discuss. He'll be my human pet. So Tumblr's used to the lies, you know, Tumblr fake story. Reddit doesn't really have that as much, I feel like. So I went on Reddit because I needed to expand in my web of lies. And I had people be like, okay, so here's what we know about this person. He's from Kentucky. He's male. He's probably a danger to the community. We have to find him and report him to the police before he gets out of control. I had like a horde of people in the comment section trying to like figure out who I was and report me to the police for being a menace to society or something. And I was like, oh, they're like scary over there. Reddit people, you got to give them a mystery to solve. So I didn't originally tell them, here's his Tumblr. You know, I was like, here's a crazy story about my nephew. And I put in some clues in the comments. I was like, and he likes Kermit, and he likes the Joker, and he has a Tumblr. And someone in the comments was like, I figured it out! I connected the dots. But they also look to try to find out where you live and stop you and send the police after you. So almost nobody knows why I'm going to Canada this summer. The web of lies has spread to my real life. I can't let anybody know about this. My coworkers would all make fun of me. There have been some close calls. Somebody at work, I left my phone at my job, and I don't have a password on my phone because I'm a moron. But some sweet, lovely, well-meaning old lady like picked up my phone and was like, oh, I'm gonna figure out who it is, unlocked it. And I came in and she's like, is this yours? What's this vor you're talking about? And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it, you know. My siblings know, and my beautiful wife, and that's it. My poor beautiful wife is so funny. I tell her about all the stuff I'm doing all the time. She's like, that's incomprehensible to me. Thank you so much. I have her proofread my posts and peer review them sometimes. And if I get a what? Then I post it. People love a crazy story. People will believe lies if they're more fun. Don't ever let the facts interfere with a good story. You know what I mean? Somebody made a PowerPoint proving that the cum was real. And I was so enthralled with that. I don't know if you saw it. They're like, I know the jizz is real and this is how I proved it. And I was so impressed with their research, but it's fake. It's not real. It was powdered sugar, cornstarch, and water. And a couple cat hairs to look like pubes. And that was it. Whenever I see anybody go like, I think you're this guy, I always comment, no one will ever believe you under their post. So that they're just alone going, I know the truth and nobody else knows the truth. So I did that. And then Strange Anne also commented under it, no one will ever believe you, which was nuts. And so people have just been running around with that. And then I think it was the same album or something that I kept referencing was the same one that Strange Aeons is into or something. I kept accidentally confirming this theory. And the truth is I was just getting all that from my real life emo roommate that I was sourcing information from because I'm a fake emo. I think it's a silly little theory. I think that it's not true and you can't prove it. And no one will ever believe you. I don't know. I'm hoping this podcast will dispel some of the evil and twisted and dark rumors with my very distinct Homestuck accent. I'm my own man. It's me, Muppet Joker. I was at work and I was, you know, on my phone scrolling through YouTube and I was like, wait a minute, what's that? Because I'm a fan of Strange Aeons. I'm subscribed to her channel, so I get the notifications and I was like, oh, that's a little me. And then I had a very hard time focusing my work day because I wanted to go home and watch my little video about me. And now I watch it all the time because I'm obsessed with myself. I love that video. I think that she's really, really funny. I think it was mostly positive. I think that a lot of her followers are generally pretty chill and lovely people. With a lot more people looking at me, I get a lot more weird people in my DMs and weird people in my Facebook, which is fair. I'm a weird guy. I'm very consistently surprised, though, at how many people can out crazy me online. And a lot of them, I'm sure, are also doing a bit like I'm doing a bit. But sometimes I'm like, wow, that's a really, you're committed to that bit, you know? There's also been a few times where I assumed somebody was doing a bit. So I'm like, yes, let's be silly characters together. And then it slowly dawned on me that I was actually just talking to a crazy person who meant me harm and me learning internet safety and not talking to strangers online as much. Every couple of days I get an Anon and I know it's the same guy because it's the same ask every time. Where it's, bro, shut the fuck up, with the same layer of O's. And I love that every couple of days they have to come remind me to shut the fuck up. I genuinely, there's no ill will in my heart for this person. I hope they continue every day. There's a couple other people that, like, when there was a bunch of, like, I think Redditors coming onto Tumblr to go shit on my account. I love their hate comments because they would just like make a Tumblr profile just to shit on me. Auto-generated username, no profile picture, no nothing. And they would leave the best shit under my stuff where they'd just be like, incel much? Or like, you're not the Joker. Get a grip, buddy. And I'm like, yeah. I genuinely have a hoot and a holler with it. It's so fun. Leave more hate comments. Get nasty with them, you know, make me cry. But stop saying that I have feminine feet, whoever keeps saying that. Stop saying they look skeletal. I've gotten so many feet comments. I thought people would be horny and weird about it, which I prepared myself for that. What I was not prepared for is people going, why your foot look like that? Why your foot weird? Not to come onto your podcast and talk about my feet. I just bugging me for like a week. Not even the foot fetish, just they're biting. There's been kind of a community of people who are like having a lot of fun with the role play aspect of everything, and I can't interact with all of them because there's like 100 billion quadrillion of them by now. But like, I love scrolling through all the people who are like have their own like subplot going on that like is like loosely kind of connected to the Muppet Joker cinematic universe. I guess everyone needs to play pretend, basically. Everybody come play pretend with me. I've seen people be like, oh my god, how does the Muppet Joker have time to run 8,000 blocks? I don't. I work full time. No, most of it is at this point other people and their like creativity. Like Milton's blog and Sage's blog were run by two different people and they did a fantastic job with it. Most of the time when people opt in, they message me and they go, I have an idea. Can I join your sandbox role play with this? And I'm like, absolutely. I'll try to incorporate that. And then half the time I forget and then I have to do it later. But a lot of people are just kind of chiming in with their own like really cool ideas. And I wish I could incorporate all of them in good time instead of working at my evil job forever. With Milton and Sage specifically, I had a couple people in a like kind of planning Discord server where I'd bounce ideas off of them. And I was like, hey, I have casting call. I'm going to probably be Athena because she's my girl. I love her. She's my OC. but I have this idea for character named Milton, full name Hamilton. Here's some character beats. Character named Sage. Here's some character beats. Do what you want with these characters. You can change whatever you want. Go crazy. And I think they did a fantastic job. And some of it was like pre-planned, like in the Discord server, like be like, let's do this plot. But a lot of it was just, we're reading each other's posts and being like, okay, I'm reblogging with this thing. And you're reblogging with this thing. We're just making it up as we go. So I can't do Muppet Joker forever. And so I have a couple ideas for if I'm ever like, you know what? I'm done with this blog. I don't think I'll delete it. I think I'll post another layer of lies where I'll be like, hey guys, out of character. My wife is divorcing me unless I stop posting on this blog. I missed my child's first birthday for DashCon, and I'm a deadbeat father. That's the truth. That's the real me. Sayonara, or you weeaboo shits, or something. And some sort of HIV living style apology. And then, I mean, I feel like a good amount of people will clock at it. That's a big fat lie, especially because I just set what I'm going to do right now here. But stories spread really fast, and I'm sure I will breach containment. Somebody will be like, oh my god, the Muppet fucking guy was actually a horrible father? Canceled, you know? And I think that's my dream. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm rereading the Bible with my OCs, Kermit and Joker, Do Not Steal, writing the true story of Genesis. And I will be reading it, and there will be audience participation, and people will have to play along. Any bold theater kids who wish to act out my play, read the Bible, write the Bible, act out the Bible at DashCon 2.
Eat the Bible.
Vriska Circuit will be in the Bible. Do not worry. I know people were worried about that. Thank you for letting me say words. I'm hanging up. If I can find out how. Adios.
Muppet Joker truthers, you can unplug your ears now. Listen, I told you I would show you clowns ungrease painted. The man behind the Muppet, to me, is evidence of the joy of collaborative posting-based fiction. If you find yourself so inspired to start your own straw man from my arguments blog or a me but worse blog, I encourage it. I might have a catharsis blog floating around somewhere, but I'll never tell. Finally, to round out this episode, I got to fulfill a dream of mine, bringing Strange into the Alan Slate Radio Institute to chat about her YouTube career, her experiences with DashCon, and a bunch of other random shit.
Well, my name is Tia. I run the Strange Eons YouTube channel. When someone just yells at me on the subway, like, oh my god, are you strange? I'm like, yes! I love it when they phrase it specifically like that. My channel really became what it is now, I think, during the pandemic because I graduated university in 2020, and that was when it kind of became my job, and I started doing the more research heavy, longer kind of videos that I do now. Whereas before that, I was kind of just joking around. Like, I started it when I was in second year university at U of T. I was 19 years old. I just posted a 3-minute long video of me like making fun of lesbian haircuts. And I showed it to my ex and she was like, oh my God, this is so funny. You should post it. So I did. And it got, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred views. So I was encouraged by that. And then I just kept making silly little videos every week. Eventually, the video that really kickstarted my channel was making fun of Onision. I was reviewing his music videos. I'd been watching YouTube since I was a kid, and Onision drama had been a staple of YouTube since the dawn of time. Since like 2008, 2009, Onision was already doing insane shit. So I was very familiar with the Onision drama genre of content, and I watched a lot of it and I loved it. So I was like, I'm gonna make this. The Tumblr Deep Dive series was another series that my channel was really built on, and that was an idea that I had from the beginning of starting my channel. There was a lot of Tumblr reaction videos, like not even really analysis, not even really deep dives. And it kind of always irked me as someone who was a Tumblr user, like all of the content that I saw and content that would do really well on YouTube, hundreds of thousands of views on these videos, like reacting to whatever such crazy Tumblr subculture. And it was always just YouTubers kind of looking at crunchy screenshots of Tumblr posts from Reddit or somewhere and laughing at it. And it was always coming from an outside perspective. And I was like, I am a resident Tumblr user. Like, I love reacting to crazy Tumblr subcultures too, but you can do it so much more interesting if you do it kind of from the inside and with a decent amount of empathy as well. Like, you don't always have to be going, oh, boo, this thing is weird, so it's bad. What about this thing is weird, it's fascinating? That's kind of the thesis of my Tumblr content from the very beginning. This thing is weird, but what if that's what makes it great?
Was there something that you were searching for when you first joined, like Tumblr?
Let me go back to the year 2011. I'm pretty sure it was Code Geass fandom. Code Geass is an anime from 2006. Being emo was not a phase. Unfortunately, anime was kind of a phase for me for a couple years in middle school. And I think it was that fandom that got me into Tumblr. Anyway, so the Tumblr Deep Dive series was very much a reaction to the kind of Tumblr content that existed on YouTube at the time. And it wasn't even particularly sophisticated at the beginning. I would literally just turn the camera on and go on Tumblr and scroll through the tags and look at stuff and usually gain a better understanding of whatever I was looking at. Like Dark Academia or the different cores, Goblin Core, Scene Core. Again, not very sophisticated compared to the kind of analysis and research that I do now. But at the time, it was something really different than had been done on YouTube. It's funny how often friends will like send me Instagram posts and it's just screenshots of Tumblr posts. And like people still do dramatic readings of Tumblr posts on TikTok, and like there's whole subreddits dedicated to Tumblr still. People still like Tumblr content. Come to our fun website. Stop consuming it through other places. Come to our fun website. I think a lot of people find it difficult to get started with Tumblr. Like, how do you find people to follow? And it is hard sometimes. It can take a while, I think, to build up a good dashboard, but it's worth it.
The algorithm is not holding your hand very much.
No.
I like that.
I can't stand scrolling on Instagram. Like, I basically use it to like post pictures of my cats sometimes and to keep in contact with friends who use it. Like I'll start scrolling on it sometimes and I'm like, I want to see posts from people I follow. Like, what is all this?
Yeah.
I don't want any of this. I just want to go back to Tumblr. I went back to school. I studied documentary film at Seneca for, it was only like a year long program, but I was right in the middle of that program. So I was working on my first short film as well. And I had been trying to scale back the YouTube content while I was in school and while I was working on more film stuff. Of course, I was like, well, the 1-year anniversary of DashCon is coming up. I can't post this video any other time. So I have to dive into this absolutely massive YouTube video at the same time. So to be honest, kind of a blur. So it took me maybe a total of 5 weeks. I started with mostly text-based interviews. Originally, I'd considered the idea of doing, you know, some video, some audio, some text-based, but the vast majority of attendees preferred just to do text-based interviews. I think I ended up talking to like 50 to 70 people, and there was only one that I fully cut. I don't know, some of their claims seemed a bit dubious. I couldn't verify that they were an actual attendee, and their claims seemed to contradict a lot of the other stuff that was said. The very first thing I did was try and do a deep dive into the primary sources, basically, the primary Tumblr posts. just trying to go back and find posts from people who were excited to go to DashCon or people who were promoting their vendor stalls at DashCon. You know, go beyond the kind of, oh my God, someone pissed in the ball pit type posts. But once you get going, you really get going, because a lot of these people were reblogging each other's posts, and one person would post, oh my God, I'm so excited to go to DashCon. Oh my God, I'm on this panel. And then five more people would be like, I'm also on this panel, or I'm also excited to go. So once you start, it's very easy to start building out a network of people who are connected to this event. So I compiled a huge document of confirmed DashCon attendees. Then I started DMing those people and asking, basically, would you like to tell me how your DashCon experience was? And as I talked to more people, I started to refine the questioning a little bit more, down to like, how did your experience contrast with the popular perception of DashCon? Or how did it line up with the popular perception of DashCon? You know, what did people get right and what did people get wrong about it? What are some of your most memorable moments? I would basically copy and paste all of their messages into this massive fucking Google Doc and then kind of organize everything chronologically. Like, everyone would start with, this is what I was doing in preparation for the convention, these are the cosplays I was planning, and then this is what happened when I arrived, and this is when I started to get a weird vibe, and then this is what happened in the ballroom on that night. So I just kind of organized everything chronologically, deleted the stuff that was repetitive or uninteresting, and I ended up with this like 30 something page Google Doc of just a chronological account of all of these different voices speaking about what happened. And honestly, some people hated that video because it was really stylistically different from what I had done before. But I wanted to just make something that was a complete rebellion against the way DashCon had been portrayed before, and just be like, this video is long. Maybe there are parts of it that even get a little slow, but this is the stone cold account of what happened from as many people as I could find. So there's a lot of people that I've built connection with as I'm making videos with them or about them. And then I think that turns out to be a bit of a 15 minutes of fame for them. It's like really exciting, and then it kind of goes away for them. Whereas for me, it's just, this is never ending. This is my fucking life, and I move on to the next video. I've also noticed my audience is very kind to me most of the time, but sometimes when I platform other people, my audience is not as nice to them or as judgmental. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But that is the horrors of being perceived on the internet. And there's one fan encounter that like vividly stands out in my mind. They were a teenager, but this person screamed at me in the middle of a grocery store. And my first thought was that like a friend who I had a bad falling out with in high school had come back to kill me finally. And it just turned out to be a really excited teenager, and that was okay, but it scared me. So don't scream at me. That's like the only line, really. If you want to give me weird little gifts or say hi or anything like that, that's totally fine. I think it's just going to be everyone trying to talk to me at the convention. If I am overwhelmed and tired, or if I say something weird, just, it's okay. It's not because I don't like you. I do expect to be like really tired and socially overwhelmed, but I will chug Monster Energy that day and I will try my best. This thing is like three times the size of my high school. So just imagining that in my mind, I'm like, oh my God. I'm planning to get there pretty early, and I'll probably be there with a camera when they open the doors and the Tumblr users flood in. My partner will be there. I'd like to go to some panels. I want to go to Lachlan O'Neill's raccoon panel. I want to go to the ballroom dancing one and the Royal Ball. Like, I do also want to have fun as a Tumblr user who is there, even though I know I'm going to be socializing pretty much constantly. The organizers told me there's going to be a lemonade stand that says Ball Pit Piss. I want to go to that. They are building a giant horse Plinko. I want to play that giant horse Plinko. I know a lot of people associate the Muppet Joker with me, or like hear those posts in my voice. I am hoping that they take to the real Muppet Joker with just as much enthusiasm. I'm really excited to meet the actual person behind this stuff. The lore kind of just keeps growing. I eat onions now. I eat onions to grow my power. I take big juicy bites of onions and it freaks him out. And we'll see. Am I going to throw onions at him in the ball pit? Not hard onions, just like some spring onions or something. I don't know. Will he turn me into a Muppet? We'll see. It's mostly just improv. I'm not a very athletic person. I don't have good balance. I hope I don't just like fall off and lose within like the first 30 seconds. An inflatable jousting match physically cannot go on that long. Someone's going to fall off within like a minute. We'll have to figure out how to make it more exciting than just like we smack each other for 30 seconds and then it's done. It feels cliche to be like, oh, it's this collective storytelling. But It is. It's like the bit just keeps on growing based on how people respond to it and people getting egged on by weird anons. I think it was Bethany Rage. Her real name is Ivy. She said something about how like it's a great method of storytelling for people who kind of have some trouble staying focused because you're having constant stimulus and inspiration thrown at you from the outside. Like it's a thing that kind of keeps on going sometimes, whether you want it to or not. Like a lot of these great Tumblr dramas are not things that were ever planned. It was just something that really arose naturally. And I think if you try and plan it too much, you can completely ruin it. I don't know. I'm just open to whatever happens, I think. I love how this community is so willing to just be like, yeah, let's make something together. Let's do something weird. Let's keep the joke rolling. I love how this thing has spiraled. And there's, I feel like as it spirals, more and more people get picked up by the rolling ball. And I've enjoyed meeting everyone so much. The idea that someone would do a DashCon 2 Toronto edition is like my absolute dream. And the organizers have been amazing. And I've been in contact with them pretty constantly as this thing develops. And they thank me so much for promoting things and for lending my voice to what they're doing. But I'm like, I almost can't accept that. I'm like, no, thank you for doing this. I went on a little road trip with them to buy the ball pit on Facebook Marketplace. I took the bus and they just like rolled up in the car. They couldn't turn around and get me. So they like drove right past me and someone was waving out the window and I'm like chasing down their car. Anyway, I eventually jumped in and we drove out to Markham to buy a ball pit on Facebook Marketplace. The organizers originally had a dream venue that was not the one they ended up getting. And it fell through because of the reputation of the first DashCon. You know, it's following in the tradition of the original DashCon in that the venue is not really in the city. It's kind of more on the outskirts or in a suburb. But the venue they had originally wanted was right downtown Toronto. And I think the vibe would have been really cool to have it there. And I'm hoping in future years that'll be the case. Mm-hmm. If they can prove with this year that it was successful and not a infamous scam of the century, I think Toronto can be the home of DashCon. If you come to Toronto, the Sneaky D's nachos are pretty good. The vibes there also, it's like a staple of Tumblr alt culture. The vibes are good. The atmosphere, you can like break out your Sharpie and start writing all over the tables. And like, it's just part of going there. It's fun.
Emo night was happening while my mom was here helping me move into my dorm. And so I took her to emo night with me. And
oh, that's so funny.
She got hit on by so many dudes.
Oh my God.
And she was like, this never happens.
Like, emo night is apparently where it's at if you're a MILF. Okay.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Oh, also, if you wish to sample the primordial slime that is poutine, the Grenadier restaurant in High Park has the best in the city, I think.
The official food of the Strange Eons YouTube
it
channel.
It is. I filmed my training montage in High Park. Love High Park.
As a sign off, I suppose. I don't know. Have fun at DashCon, I guess.
Hell yeah. You too. We're going to have fun at DashCon.
It's going to be lit. I will be there. You will be there. Everyone will be square.
Exactly.
This will not be the last that you hear of Tia. I'm going to be talking with her again a few days after DashCon for a little reflection, provided that she isn't transformed into some sort of Muppet homunculus during the duel. I still have yet more pre-convention interview content to share with you, but the next episode will be the first to feature some real on-the-ground-at-the-con stuff, including some very interesting immersive stereo sound from my good microphone buddy, ASMRgery. When you hear me next, I shall be a changed man. If you see me at the convention, say hi! I will be wearing the world's shittiest John Egbert cosplay, sourced from Value Village and Dollarama, because I'm just that Canadian now. Elbows up, people! I realize that I've also kind of painted myself into a little bit of a corner by having a funny song at the end of every episode, so while this isn't new content per se, here is a decidedly Tumblr song that I created at around the same time as OG DashCon was happening to serve as your cringe primer. I love you all. Mwah!
Have you ever found yourself in this awkward situation when you need another explanation and you don't know what to do? You need to tell all your got some that have best end, but they don't understand, cause they're nerds. Just say, mushy, mushy, bishy, bashy, freckle, freckle, doing the do. Mushy, mushy, bishy, bashy, freckle, freckle, doing the do with you. Mushy, mushy, bishy, bashy, freckle, freckle, doing the do. Mushy, mushy, bishy, bashy, freckle, freckle, doing the do. Don't say that because it sounds like you're fangirling. bitchy, 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 frickle, fackle, do, do, do. Thesaurus, just use urban dictionary. Mushy, mushy, bitchy, bitchy, freckle, freckle, doing the do. Mushy, mushy, bitchy, bitchy, freckle, freckle, doing the do with you. Mushy, mushy, bitchy, bitchy, freckle, freckle, doing the do. Mushy, mushy, bitchy, bitchy, freckle, freckle, doing the do. If you tell your internet friends this, they're sure to understand that you don't have to mention that you freck, freck with your hand. Mushy, mushy, bitchy, bitchy, freckle, freckle, doing the do.